Children with special needs also deserve the chance to be part of a team. The outreach program for soccer, or TOPS Soccer, is seeking players who can contribute their unique abilities to our teams, and all athletes are welcome in our 7-week program. Player registration is currently open and play begins in early April. Visit the Great Basin Youth Soccer League at gbysl.org for registration forms and information. Again, that is gbysl.org and click the link to the TOPS Soccer program. TOPS Soccer players and their families rely on the generosity of the community to help make the program a success. We encourage you to contact us regarding sponsorship opportunities at nvtopsoccer@gmail.com. We thank you again for your support. Again, registration is open now, so log on to gbysl.org for registration information for the TOPS Soccer program.
Who wants to be famous?
The biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Mr. Dowd.
Podcasting live from a land of dangerous thoughts. I am the Reverend Rory Dowd, and this is the worst little podcast in the world. With me is my partner, my buddy, my left-hand man, Mr. Nick Ramirez.
It's good to see you, Reverend.
Dogwater Dick, of course, is running the show. No interns this week because they're all playing. But who cares? We've got Raksha Baksha in the studio.
I'm the worst little podcast. We're talking out of our ass.
Hi there.
What a great show to have on a Spring Forward Monday.
Yeah.
Fuck. When I found
two of our favorite effing people in general, not to mention a new band on the Reno scene. Geez.
And a fairly easy setup. And I love them. When you said who it was, I was just like, oh, I can relax. This isn't like having a show. This is like having friends over.
Yeah.
It's a very special show.
High compliments. Fuck.
And I heard you guys are amazing, so I can't wait to hear.
Oh, geez.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carolyn and Shaolin Gate of Raksha Paksha. How you say hi to the audience, everybody?
Hello, friends. I'm Carolyn.
Hello, I'm Shaolin.
Hi. You guys even sound alike.
Yes, we do.
We get that.
You look alike. You sound alike. Hey, is that your sister? Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Actually, it's your mom.
your mom.
We make so many your mom jokes at practice and on stage and in the grocery store and pretty much everywhere we go because it's just so fun.
Your mom.
No, your mom. Which is me.
But a bum.
Like your mom.
So you're agreeing with her. It's like grandma, no me. Grandma, right. No me.
Exactly. We're not wriggling out of nothing.
Nope. I hear your mom likes it that way.
She totally does.
Well, honey. Go back to bed.
Already out of the gate, and she's talking about people's moms.
My goodness.
Hey, at least she was on topic this time.
It is really great and wonderful to have you guys here. I fortunately finally got a chance to see you guys at Merry Anarchy this past December. And you guys were one of the highlights of the weekend.
That was a great day.
People talked about you guys for hours afterwards.
Section of the
Absolutely.
Show.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun project. We are having a good time. Amen.
Very cool.
You have the cutest little drums.
Thank you.
They're just adorable.
Those are the
baby is that
drums.
Your three-quarter drum set?
Oh, my God.
It's actually a Sonar Jungle Kit. It's a cocktail jazz drum kit.
Oh, okay.
And the bass drum is a 16-inch floor tom converted to a bass drum.
Yeah,
like, the tiniest bass drum ever.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Rory, with a large enough glass of water, I think I could swallow it.
Yeah, they're really fun. They're great for the living room, which is where because that's what I have instead of furniture is just a living room.
We could probably set them up in here, Rick.
Yeah.
We only once had a kid smaller than that, and that was
Don. Don was playing the tiny little kid's.
He brought his kid's drum kit
in. The
first act. Yeah.
The first act. Yeah. I have a pink one of Riku's, and Don had one of.
Don is the kind of good drummer who can get away with whatever. He's
he
real
just,
good. I like
he
him.
Could play on pots and pans.
Right? Yeah,
and it wouldn't be like Rick at 4 a.m.
We didn't know that the pens that we were playing the pots and pans with were leaking because it was dark. Roy turns the lights on and we're all covered in ink. I was really drunk.
That's a good memory.
Luckily, we were shirtless, so didn't ruin any shirts.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Good.
Speaking of small drum sets, the Team Francis played with Limbo State.
Yeah.
Mm. And that dude has a suitcase for a bass drum.
Yeah, I saw them.
That was really fun.
He, like, built his own drum kit.
Is that Wyatt?
Yeah.
Chris Wyatt?
Chris Wyatt Scott.
Yeah, Chris Wyatt Scott.
Attached a pedal to a suitcase, and it sounded pretty darn good.
Dude, no, his homemade rig there is pretty hot.
Yeah. On that PA, I was like, damn, dude, that bass is kicking.
Sounds great.
Sounds a hell of a lot.
To tie that in.
It sounds a hell of a lot better than the Death Magnetic kick from Metallica.
Yeah,
right?
No shit,
which
right?
Just sounds like somebody hitting you in the ear with sounds a magnet.
Sounds like somebody tapping a paper bag. Really?
Wow, all that weird money, all that technology, all that Napster crap.
To ruin an album.
Still doesn't get good drum tone.
And then they got a Grammy for making the album of the year.
Doesn't sit well.
And that's when the Grammys stopped mattering. Rory, you were saying?
Oh, they stopped mattering a long time ago.
Oh, I was just trying to explain why Nick dropped in that non sequitur there.
Oh, yes.
And how to tie in the whole band relationships.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Team Francis.
Team Francis is my other two children, Samantha and Ivan.
Who have been on this show before, but in a different band.
In other incarnations, yeah.
Sam actually was briefly an intern on
this
show.
That's true.
That was a little bit of a tough time, but thank you for offering.
Until she never called me back.
Thank you for offering that to her.
She stopped responding to my emails.
Yeah, it's hard to be
18. No. Yeah, exactly. No, I have no bad bones about it, you know. I'll give you a shot. You don't want to take it? Fine. Good luck out there.
Well, yeah.
And she's been doing the best with her good luck out there, too. Team Francis.
Fabulous. Team Francis is on the next. They're leveling up. They lost their
drummer.
One
of the hot new bands in town, though, for sure.
Yeah, Ivan was playing bass. She was on synth and keyboard. And they lost their drummer. He was just too busy. Too many bands, college, everything going on.
Yeah.
Right? Shut up.
And so Ivan scooted over to drums, and they invited a guitar player friend of theirs, Rue, who's a stellar musician and songwriter.
He writes
he's
his
amazing.
Own stuff, and he's got his own solo thing going on, which is awesome.
He's
and amazing.
Awesome. But good, they're good. Super close, and I think this new configuration is making Ivan step up to the plate, because now he's got to try. When he was playing bass, like, he could just sleep in the corner and whatever was fine.
That's,
but
I
now
like
that he's playing drums,
bass.
He actually has to step up. He's pretty good, but he's just he's new at it, a little lack of control. He'll get it. But he's also driving more
and
in
it's
the songwriting.
In his DNA.
Right? It is. It really is.
Well, actually, the most funny part about that for me is that the reason that Mom started playing drums in the first place was because she got Ivan drum lessons with Chris Hajakis, and he was too ADD to pay any attention, so she ended up taking him herself.
Is that true?
I learned so much more from Riku's drum lessons than she ever did.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that got me on the rhythm thing.
Right?
Like, now that I'm playing bass, like,
it's
I can
just information.
I think about a lot of the stuff that drum
listen
keeper Matt Smothers
he's great.
Yeah, Matt, he was Rika's drum teacher for about a year.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out.
To Ivan's credit, he was 5 at the time, and I just wanted to give him something constructive to do. So
same
taking
age.
My toaster apart.
Oh, and then this drum instructor is going, like, I thought I was going to deal with a 5-year-old, and then a MILF scoots in, and that, I know. It's like, wow. Okay.
Well, Chris is a good guy, and yeah, I learned a lot from him. In fact, he really gave me a good, solid foundation. And, of course, like, a young family couldn't afford to continue them. You know, I just took the month's worth of lessons that I paid for or whatever. But he gave me a solid foundation to work with.
Fuck.
And props to Chris Ajax.
Hey, you've been one of the most exciting drummers in the arena music scene for a couple of years.
Blunderbuss
is
one of my favorite bands ever to exist.
Blunderbuss is one of my favorite bands.
Yeah. Blunderbuss goes, I was just playing Blunderbuss in my car, like, yesterday before yesterday.
Yeah. The Wayback Machine.
Fuck. And that started, how long ago did that start? How long have you been rocking the drums in? Because you don't just rock drums.
I'm
going to
throw it
now,
out there at least.
Yeah, she plays everything.
At least 7-8 years here.
Jen and
longer.
I started playing
Blunderbuss
together
pre-studio,
in
and studio's 8 years.
2006. I think, was when we first started getting together.
Wow, that was, that it was makes right more before sense. I left for Louisiana.
And we really
even.
Didn't start playing a lot of shows until 2008 or so.
Oh my God,
and
you guys have been
sort of
this?
Rocked the scene until about 2010, and then like my marriage fell apart, and her mom died, and there was no, it was there was writer's block, and everybody's got to hole up and cocoon themselves to healthy again, and so and then, it, and then in I my mind, it's on hold.
And
like,
then
I will
Aphasia,
always
that came out in what, 10?
That was 10.
2010?
I think that was 2010.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah.
whole,
it's a great album.
What is it? Something This Knife. What is it?
Will This Knife.
Yeah. That's an awesome record.
Oh, actually, so Will This Knife came out
before that.
In 2010. I think is when we released
yeah,
it.
No,
and then,
Aphasia
so
late.
Aphasia would have been 2011, spring
yeah.
of
okay.
2011.
Okay.
And that was really fun. We brought Carson in. He was doing some really fun synth stuff in there.
My God.
Very complimentary. And also, Carson is a great guy. Just easy to be with. And
fuck.
Yeah, that was a good time. So to me, that's like, that's a back burner thing. Like, I will always be hers whenever she's ready and she wants me.
on a regular basis.
Don't we all
in.
Feel that about Jen Scafidi?
Jen Scafidi, yes.
Yeah, we all feel
and
that.
And if you don't,
yeah.
you should.
Yeah. Yeah, and I saw her play with...
Hey, Jen, how does that make you feel?
With her new band with Andrew.
Oh, with... what is it? Crawling Out.
Crawling Out
her
with
new project
Eddie and the
is
Subtitles
awesome.
The other night. It was awesome, man.
Yeah, she's really...
She played with...
She looks so laid back. Speaking of bass players in the corner, she was just like...
Oh, she's a superhero.
Playing really,
there.
Like, yeah. solid, like... Laser bass, dude.
Seriously, I think
laser
like,
bass. Laser bass.
Well, I'm it sorry, was... Jen, how do compliments make you feel?
Seriously, I think you just made my nipples hard.
Aww.
Laser bass.
We love you, Jen. Love
yeah,
you, Jen.
And it was, they were great. And then Mikey and Eddie and the Subtitles afterwards, too. And Carson was there, and he was like, just, you know, beaming from both sets, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and
he's
I love
growing
that.
A lot too.
Yeah.
Things are good for him right now.
That's good.
Doing good stuff.
Every time I see him, he's got a great new project that's blowing me away. He's a really, really right? gifted songwriter, and his mind goes to great places.
Yeah, he's got special magic for
yeah.
sure.
He's one of those people that when you talk to him, you're like, oh my God, I think he's really smarter than me. I don't know if I should talk to him. I'm gonna say something stupid.
See, you know, whenever I talk to Carson, it's always like, oh, crap, he's going to insult me. I better have a better insult than him.
I'm totally submissive. I'm just all lay on my back, and you can be smarter. It's fine.
Oh, he and Jen are merciless with me. They just, like, when it's the two of them standing there together, they just rip me apart, like, new at, like, they've been practicing while they, like, have pillow talk. Yeah. Then when they're individual, they're like, oh, you know, we're just kidding. We love you.
So later, how can we rip on Rory?
Right. It's like, I'm going to call him out. I think it's one of their favorite couple pastimes. Oh, let's go make fun of Rory. Let's go up to Foxy Olive and make fun of Rory. It'll
that
be so much
like
fun.
That sounds like a good time. I'm in.
Yeah.
Rory, you fucking retarded douchebag.
Hey, been a long time.
At least you got...
I mean that in the nicest way.
At least you got ripped on by Bobby Slayton. You know?
True. Bobby Slayton has personally insulted me. It was kind of awesome.
Fuck you, Rory.
And that was on the second better. Interview when I totally like... blew it as an interviewer.
Fuck so, you, Rory.
Yeah, fuck you too, Bobby.
How can we know Bobby's flyer in this room?
Oh, where did that I think it lived for a long time, and then it got taken down and added to the archive collection. One day I want to frame all of my Mary Anarchy posters.
Are you sure you don't want to just get them on
them
microfiche?
So much.
There's one 12's in here.
Wow. Microfiche with the little fast library thing, and it was on like the little tiny strips on the little rolls, and they would magnify it up onto the big screen. Yeah.
And you would hide it in a cake and smuggle it across the country. Like, remember, it was always that's what they were trying
Rick,
to find.
Rick
You're on the team, Rick.
Rick in high school and in college was not the most observant student.
Uh-huh.
The library was something I believe Rick avoided assiduously, unless it was somewhere that he. And notice I used the word assiduously.
Oh, I did notice
that.
I forgot what you were saying because I was paying attention to that.
He would go to the library only to climb up into the rafters of the school where he could crawl over to the theater department where he would hang out above the stage and smoke clove cigarettes and let his hair droop in front of his face.
Yeah.
Wow.
And steel tail coats.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Phantom of the Opera, except I wasn't totally deformed.
Well, Rick, if you had lived in Billings, Montana, you could have hung out with me and the trench coat kids out back.
Yes, yes, we were the trench coat kids. And I remember, yeah.
Being the trench coat kids? Wasn't this a you have a gun under your trench coat thing?
Well, no, this was before all of that happened.
Yeah, before all that happened.
Yeah.
Before Columbine. And then I was an adult after Columbine, and I remember I was working in a client's house, and Columbine happened, and I remember a client watching the TV and saying to themselves, my God, what kind of person would think about doing something like this? And I just kept dusting when I thought to myself, there was never a single day of high school that I didn't think about bringing a gun and killing everybody.
Right! I mean...
Not one
and
day
that is
ever.
Still, okay, and I mean, that is still not something that is part of the conversation about these shootings and Columbine and all of it. Like, again, me too. Throughout the 80s and fucking 90s, look, man, I thought about doing exactly what they did every day.
I was a really uncomfortable kid.
I own a Fiat. I'm buying a house. I'm getting married. I have children. I'm 43 fucking years old. But every day of high school, I thought about... fighting everyone.
Blowing those some bitches down.
Right.
Making lists.
I don't think what those kids were feeling or thinking was abnormal. I think they were completely normal.
No, I just thought of them. They were just go-getters.
Them. They were just,
you know, some people plan and some people do. You know?
Right. No, I would always write notes, especially like in college. I'd write notes about suicide and killing myself. And man, by the time I got through with that 5.5 pages of notebook paper, both sides, I was tired and I'd want to just sleep on it. And I had gotten it all out. I had like apologized to everybody for killing myself. And then I went to bed and I woke up the next day.
Yeah.
And I hadn't killed myself. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Oh, and mine
I wrote cries to help. To myself, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
And mine was only slightly
good.
Different.
You're a writer. That's smart.
You came to the reverend.
I was only slightly different. I would, because I was the same thing about suicide. And then one of my friends actually did kill himself. And that, when I was 17. And it was like, so holy shit, this isn't just a cute little fantasy anymore. This That's is a real. Horrible bomb that goes off and hurts everyone for a million years afterwards.
Yeah.
Amen,
and
brother.
Can never be undone. And that, from that moment on, I never thought about suicide again.
Yeah.
At 17, I had the a friend killed by a drunk driver. So that was a little before the suicide-y stuff, but it was a big part of why I didn't imbibe or indulge or any of that stuff until time and a place for everything, college.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a small town where you could just walk everywhere. So fuck it.
Fuck.
Yeah, reality has a way of sobering up your thoughts, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and the reality is not as good as the fantasy. And yeah, look
it never is. Even if you make your fantasies come to life, and you're like, fuck. That wasn't as cool as I thought it would be.
I thought this would be cooler.
Yeah, you know. So next time I fantasize, I'm just gonna keep that. You know what I mean?
So
I'm not even gonna bother with
all that work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck, thinking about having coffee with Robert Smith is way better than actually having coffee with Robert Smith.
Oh my God, fuck, Morrissey? Insufferable.
What
Jesus.
A dick. Like, but in my head.
I would just kill myself at breakfast with Morrissey. Fuck.
And even on like a smaller like level where You're just meeting somebody. I mean, like, I chickened out to meet Flea. I could have met Flea, but I knew I was going to fucking, like, fuck it all up.
You're
so I was like,
no. Yeah,
I was
going to
act like me. And I know me, and I'm a fucking dork. And I'm going to fucking blow it.
Yeah, if I ever meet John Waters, I'll just cry. And what kind of asshole wants to meet that?
See,
I just...
I'm socially awkward enough. I have met celebrities. And I'm just all, hey... Would you like fries with that? And I don't really bother them. I just, what's up, man? I just treat them like, yeah, I just kind of treat them like, here's the thing. I like, you don't want to be have your ass kissed. And,
yeah.
But then I pass up that opportunity to like have a conversation.
Maybe make
them.
A connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, it was so.
John
was
Waters,
so
I like, would just try to stick my tongue down his throat on the subway, though.
Oh, my God. I would try to act like a scary prisoner because that's what he's into. And then I wouldn't act like he was anybody. I would totally treat him like a normal person. And then at the very end, I would be like, your movie's changed my life. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, no. It looks like there's been a horrible accident. Yeah. And pour ketchup all over your chest.
Horrible accident.
Oh, and I don't know. I always... I met a lot of people growing up that I admired, and I always thought, like, what would I ever say to them? And I never, like, lost my cool until, like, last summer I saw a silent film played with Silver Sun Pickups. It was my friend got it for me for my birthday, and we went, and it was super rad, and I didn't know that a silent film was playing, and I'd liked them for a while. But I hadn't fangirled over them or anything. And so when we met them after, it was so weird to me. Because I've met, like, Bobby McFerrin and people like that. That I was just like, they're my hero. And it was totally chill. But I met this guy, and he was like, oh, hey. And he introduced himself, and I was just like, I just, like, didn't say anything. I was like, this is weird.
You lost your porpoise?
Where's my porpoise?
What's but a porpoise in this conversation?
I one time met Mike Patton.
Oh my
god! Holy shit! That's intense.
This is my favorite story.
It's Mike Patton. So, like, I'm drooling, and my mouth is a little bit hanging open. And
right,
we're scooching in for a picture, and he was kind enough to pose for a picture with us. And
what era? What year ish?
This would have been about 1997.
Ooh, super. Okay, so back in the
angel days.
So this is like Mr. Bungle period.
Yes,
like,
a very popular dude too. Because
Faith so we're scooching in for this picture. Yeah, they're like, you know, whoever's taking the picture of us is like scooching us together. And I want to be respectful. Like, I don't want to encroach in his space or be weird or fangirl or anything. And so, like, I'm in the middle of him and Vince, and they're like, scoot closer together. And I look at Mike and I'm like, can I touch you? Like, and I'm saying this out of respect because I don't want to, maybe he doesn't like to be touched. I don't know.
Right.
And so, like,
Mike Patton to lose his crap on you.
He turns his head and, like, his mouth was almost touching mine, and he looks right in my eyes, and he says, I don't know. Can I touch you? And I do believe that he was just being witty and fun or whatever, but I was both terrified and aroused.
No, I mean, if anybody knows how to use his fucking voice, it's Mike Patton. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to put a little tingle in your jingle.
Wow.
Oh, that's excellent.
And just to cap it off, Don Geronimo, who we believe is a celebrity, when he met Paul McCartney, he froze up. And do you know what he said?
What?
He looked at him and shook his hand and said, hey, band on the run.
Opposed to the time Don Geronimo met Stevie Wonder and said, hey, you know they dressed you in a shower curtain.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Steve. No.
You know they dressed you in a shower curtain?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Not Stevie. Yeah. Hey, Steve. Do you know they dressed you in a shower curtain? And evidently, Stevie let out the biggest belly laugh he's ever heard in his life.
He did good. Man.
Oh,
I've met lots of celebrities, but you know there's certain ones. Fucking last year, being around Jack Black, I was a stall.
Yeah.
Oh my god! And me and Mikey almost were those people who were like, "Can we have a picture?" But we didn't fuck with them. Like we're talking about.
You
want
to be respectful and not encroach in their space.
We are also performers and artists ourselves. We get it.
Like 2 months later, I get to hang out with KG, and that was totally cool.
Jub's here a little bit ago.
And I almost didn't blow
it.
Did
you miss the
show?
But
I did. You did
blow it?
Eventually, KG was like, yeah, I'm starting to feel weird and left. But we both smoked weed. We were just hanging out smoking weed. And then he was like, yeah, I feel weird. I got to go. Okay. He wasn't saying weird about me necessarily.
No,
maybe he's high and hung out enough.
When it hits you with a stranger and you're like, wait a minute.
I'm stoned, though. I'm not at home.
I said, this is one of the best. He's all, wanna? And I'm all, one time I hung out, played with Suicide.
You know, you're kind of a C-lister.
See what you do when you hang out with your fucking heroes, you ass. Nick, you suck.
Get it together.
I fucking was kind of mad at myself later. But it was, we hung out for a while. It was cool.
That's awesome.
But he actually was like, everybody was loading all his gear. And while he talked to me on my birthday, and it was fucking cool.
Oh,
dude.
On your birthday. Yeah. What a gift.
That's
it
rad.
Was special and rad.
Nice.
And I didn't freak out.
Good job.
I think next time, if I get a chance to meet Flea, I'm not going to freak out. Okay. I'm going to go do it.
You're just going to be a dude and Godspeed. Shake his hand. And
yeah. Well, no, I think the next time I meet him, it'll actually be with some friends of his or something. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Try to plan better for the future.
Yeah.
How about a song?
Yeah, God, we've been talking forever.
Yeah, it's time for music. Caroline, I'm going to kick you out of here.
Okay, fine. Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. That's right.
Bye, Felicia.
Let's talk about
the recent
past.
It's Monday and you ain't got shit to do.
When we get back.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the recent past when we get back.
There oh my gosh.
Nick had an exciting weekend.
I did.
Rick had some exciting times recently. I'm busy trying to buy a house. I'm not doing fucking things.
And getting ready for a wedding.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting ready for a wedding.
Jeez. You're like doing it all.
And writing.
Raising a child.
Really big project. So,
writing movies.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Oh, the raising a child thing. She's 10. She can like fuck off a cliff, you know, whatever.
Wow, whoa. That's really specific.
Riku, how are you taking that, Riku? Good Lord.
No, there have been some nights she's been in trouble, and it's like, rather than like actually come down on her or like take something away or give her more punishment, it's like, you know what, kid? Make your own dinner and sit at the other table.
She knows how to cook?
Well, she knows how to take leftovers out of the fridge and put them in a microwave.
Or make a bowl of cereal, or
make a case.
They're very resourceful.
She
when
can
you didn't
make
tell
a quesadilla for herself. Yeah, she's 10. She can feed herself, like prepare a meal. I mean, it's not the best meal, but when
thing,
she's in
she
trouble, it's like a
independence.
You're forgetting how much we do for you. Why don't you do something for yourself?
Don't tell me I don't know what Vietnam is like.
She's adorable.
And with that, no.
All right, let's have a song.
Aksha Paksha.
What's the name of this?
This song is called Such a Beautiful Life. Sorry.
That's awesome.
I'm starting this thing.
Okay, estamos listas? Wines.
beautiful.
Wow. I got to say, you know, I've seen you perform a couple of times over the years. A, you've come a long way, and B, damn, this is good shit.
Seriously. And if you guys and your whole family and all the other kids, if all of you ever buy a Partridge Family bus and go across the country on amazing adventures, I want to be that red-haired guy, okay?
Okay.
You want to be the Danny Bonaducci?
No, the older guy. The ginger.
Danny,
he was like the manager
ginger.
Or something,
Rupert?
Wasn't he?
No.
Was it Rupert?
I think, was it Bert?
Bert.
I think it was Bert.
IMDb, help us. Anyway, I want to be that guy.
I know you mean the manager guy.
The manager guy, right.
Pray to St. Clair, the patron saint of television, will come to you while you're asleep tonight.
And Claire's music, too, so face.
Huh. Rad.
Face!
How many songs do you guys have for us tonight?
Four.
Yeah.
Or should they do?
No, we're gonna like talk about days of recent past. So, hey, Nick, how was your weekend, bud?
It was pretty amazing.
Tell us about it, Nick.
Well, Friday I went and saw Team Francis. I didn't see Team Francis because I showed up when Jack, his band Limbo State was playing.
Right.
Well, just so you know, Team Francis was awesome.
Yeah, I heard
they really killed it.
And then it's kind of a hottie.
Yeah. They all are.
He's a
though.
Great musician. And then I saw Alphabet Cult.
Eye candy too.
I think everybody in their family is cute.
Your kids are all fucking hot.
They're all cute. Well, no.
Like,
good stock.
I mean, like, hey, look what they got to work with.
I think
with.
Both of the parents are cute too. So.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
It's not that
as
weird.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks.
Not to make you feel weird or anything.
You know what? I dare you. No, you
know
what?
Too late.
Don't.
So, I missed the part of the weekend. Did you get through your weekend, Nick?
No,
he
I
was
did
just
not.
Starting
Tell
to
us
talk
about your
about
weekend,
it.
Nick.
Well,
he didn't see Team Francis.
I saw Alphabet Cult right after I saw the Limbo State, which were awesome,
cult.
And
That's
it was
so fun.
Really cool to see Jack.
Bunch of black people down there, Rick.
There was some black people. There was some white people. Yellow people.
Brown people.
Brown people.
Purple people.
Girl.
Reno is such a rainbow.
People.
Melting pot, yo.
Vaginas, Rainbow. Dicks, nothings.
Just
both,
stick that in anywhere,
you know,
right?
Whatever. It was all
it was
happening.
A melting pot.
Liberals,
Reno.
Utopia, Republicans, wet nightmare.
Which leads me to my next day.
Wet nightmare.
What happened on Saturday, Nick?
On Saturday, I got to be in Murder Rock's music video.
Oh, that's right!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's
which
so cool.
Which song?
Like,
I didn't even
you were
know
all
about
dressed
this.
Up like a priest and shit.
I think it's called Gates of Hell.
Oh, my God. They did a video for Gates of Hell.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fuck, that is so rad.
And I played a priest in it.
Oh, yeah, I saw those pictures.
And I was only going to, like, when they hit me up, they're all, you're just in this.
Wait, is that
scene,
why you
right?
skipped band practice on Saturday?
Yeah.
Ah!
That's totally why he did that.
I would have gone to that with you if
I
known that's
Tanduli,
why you were
but that's
skipping
awesome.
Practice.
I saw Jack. Recycle Records when we were shooting too. I'm all, Jack, be in the video. He's all, no.
No.
Of course, Jack's like, no, I'm not going to be on your podcast either. Jack hates, like,
any
attention.
Sort of spotlight.
But he likes singing in our band. It's
on stage, he is, like, unleashed.
That's ironic.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah, I'll have to check that song and see if it's true.
But anyway, ironic. Yeah, so that was super fun because we shot all around Reno in the daytime, and then by nighttime, I had to go to this like warehouse and we filmed in there. And that was more with the band. Like that was all with the band at the warehouse. And everything else was like from people from Reno and Momo and Katie and all these people.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Mark Moots was there. That was cool to see Mark.
Cool. When are we
going to
get
to school with Mark? So.
When are we going to get to see this?
In a few weeks, I guess they're going to edit the stuff together.
Fuck.
But it was crazy hanging out in this old. Industrial warehouse place in Reno. I think Hatch has a place there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
it's
fucking
a nice building.
Spooky ass piano down there. Ooh. And it was.
With like missing keys.
Usually warehouse pianos are pretty spooky.
But it's so cold because, you know, it's all made out of concrete and brick and shit.
Right.
So it's so cold inside. And it was. And I didn't bring my jacket. And so it was like really added to the performance because I felt like I was in a very spooky, scary, cold, desperate place.
Way to get into character.
Oh, it was fun. Nice.
Method actor.
pretending is rad.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how I get on a
pretending
stage.
Pretending is rad.
I'm like, oh, it's time for pretend. Pretend I'm a rock star.
That's right.
There's no pretend about that, darling.
There's no off switch for you.
There really isn't.
Called out by
her own
child.
We were doing an interview, and every question, I'm like, ooh, can I make a joke? Ooh, can I make a joke? And Sheldon had to, like, pat me on the head and tell me to sit
come,
down.
Come on, are you a musician?
Come on, Mom.
Comedian.
Don't be a noob.
Actually, my mom is way cooler than I am.
I would disagree with you.
I think we might have to tie in that case.
Or wrestle in cream corn.
Oh, gosh. I vote for wrestling. Can we wear kimonos?
Wow.
Kimonos, wrestling in cream corn.
I need to excuse me. No.
I'm extremely uncomfortable.
Rory's got to leave the room.
Wow, my pants are tight all of a sudden.
Now I'm really uncomfortable.
And no, the worst part about it is that Carolyn brought it up, and that not only makes it awful, it makes it more sexy.
No.
Fun fact, at my house, I'm usually the first one to say a thing that which could be misconstrued as sexual.
I know.
And Samantha does this classic thing where she's like, Mom, why is it always you? They're not intended that way, but.
I would be disappointed if it was otherwise, Carolyn.
Well, I'm here to not disappoint you.
Yeah. Stop.
See, it's always me.
Always you.
Hey, now.
Anyway, back to Murder Rock. Okay. It was.
Sorry, Nick. There are a lot of tangents in this show, aren't there?
It was super fun to get murdered. It wasn't quite as dark as the conversation we just had, but. Rick, how was your weekend?
My weekend was fucking great. I hadn't had a weekend, and I haven't had a few days off in 7 weeks.
Wow.
I screwed up on my schedule and worked too much, but I've gotten some fucking hella great stuff done. Oh, my God.
Working harder than a Jew in Egypt, am I saying? You hear me, son? Yeah.
God. Wow, yeah. Too soon?
Well, really, and it's anachronistic to call them Jews when they're in Egypt, Rory. They were Israelites. So
true,
and I want you all to stop and realize that I said anachronistic. So thanks.
Yeah. I really appreciate your own use of the word anachronistic.
And frankly, I was thrown that phrase by a black woman that I worked with in a call center about 20 years ago. So
it's a good
yeah.
It's a good phrase.
Dude. So I took the weekend off and it was really awesome. But during my weekend off, I was somewhere that I won't mention and ran into somebody who I won't mention and found out that a band that had been on
that
our show
won't mention.
That I won't mention that had been on our show in the past 6 months lost one of their band members because of something that Riku said.
What did Riku say?
I know. So you know the quiz, you guys, when we have that question about
what question? Just play the sound drop. What did Riku say?
Just, like get to where Riku.
Yeah, just what did Riku say? Come on, Rick.
Riku, what did you say to ruin
Riku?
This band?
No, she's getting all quiet.
Time out, Riku.
Did we destroy another band?
Do you like it in your face?
That's not what she said.
Come here, and what did you say? What did
Are we going to do the quiz this week?
No, that's not
it was part of the quiz.
Gay or ginger?
No, that wasn't it.
Are you sure? No.
Oh.
Who would you do? Caitlyn Jenner or Chaz Bono?
That's
the one. So now the first layer of my upset in talking to this friend of mine was that the band thought that Riku was a harmonizer and that I was talking.
Oh.
Which, when I thought about it, that would be so much easier than the way we do it.
You know? Instead of having an underage child say horrible things.
And maintaining a giant bank of samples.
Right, that I have to constantly flip through. And
wow.
When sometimes she says things that are so appropriate to the conversation and people don't know that I just happened to have asked her to say that, recorded it, chopped it out, had it in alphabetical order, and was near enough to it that I could play it fast enough when somebody said something. Like, that's so much harder. So I thought, no, that's
You're
a real
artist.
Little kid. That's a real little kid. And, so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we asked that question in part of the quiz. We asked that question a lot. It was my idea to have that be a question. That is all me.
As a game. Okay. When Riku comes over and records with Rick, I just come over and hang out at Rick's house while with the rest of the gang while Uncle Ricky.
Yeah, we're not privy to all
takes
that.
Riku to a
that's what's fun
to a
when
small
we hear
dark room.
Yeah, we
with
laugh
a microphone
our ass off.
And makes her and makes her just like he comes up with lists and lists of things to have her say every year
and
so
and stuff that she at, doesn't know what she's saying.
Yeah, she's
there's
a little kid who doesn't
about
watch
this cowgirl.
Jesus Christ.
So and a lot of times she's
so
such
not.
An
Rory's
not even here.
What are fags?
That was the real one. That was a real draft.
Yeah, because I asked her to say.
Honest question from a child. It's fine.
My studio tagline is.
State of the art is for fags.
And then right after
all,
that.
What are fags?
Totally innocent little girl that's right. So sweet and doesn't do and would never think of anything weird or bad like this. She doesn't know who Caitlyn Jenner is. So I had her say the
or
question.
Or Chaz Bono, just for the record.
It shocked me that, and when it shocked me that some, so one of the band members heard that and thought that we were being anti-trans. Thought
we're
that we were bashing on
oh,
trans,
they don't
and,
understand.
And
the
person got upset that that we would say something like that. And then when we said it, none of the other band members said "fuck this." So in her head, it was like we had
an
used
attack.
The N word, and everybody was like, "Yeah, it's cool that they use the N word. What are you so freaked out about?"
Well,
so that's
yikes.
How this was interpreted by somebody.
Talk about misinterpretation.
Namaste.
Oh,
namaste.
Yeah, really? Let's get to yeah. Namaste.
I'm so sorry.
Namaste.
Namaste.
I hope it didn't hurt anybody's.
Can we get a namastizzle? Yeah.
Namastizzle?
I think we just created somebody who's like, we don't like your
cognitive dissonance. Oh.
Well,
dude. So I would just like it stated for the record that when I had that, when I thought of that question, it was a twofold thing. First off, it's not that I'm anti-trans, and I don't want to sound like one of those people that's like, I got a lot of black people as friends. I have a lot of trans friends.
And you do
have
suck,
a lot of,
and you do suck a lot of dick.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But trans will say
has
like,
nothing
yeah,
to do with what he's talking about.
It doesn't no. matter. Well, and I'm used
just,
to.
Even
I,
though.
I'm just ridiculing
dude,
Rick.
Trans used to confuse me. I used to think that trans people were a little weird. And you know what changed my mind? It wasn't somebody freaking out that I wasn't being open-minded. It was having trans friends and finding out that they're some of the most wonderful, some of my most favorite spiritually centered, awesome people that I've known in my life have been trans. And I also know one person who's batshit crazy and trans. But that's beside the point.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, there's a couple.
But dude, like I love my trans friends and I'm totally down for the cause. We love. So when I put that question out there, part of it was that I didn't want to be heterosexist with who would you do? I wanted
right,
to bring
to
trans
bang.
Into it.
You're trying to include
yes.
the trans community.
Yes, I'm. We're
question.
Trying to include them and judge them physically the way we judge heterosexuals physically.
Yes, and their turn signals.
And yes, and on top of that, I also wanted
I mean,
to see
because yeah. if you no, because frankly,
who
like,
would you do? Kathy Bates or Danny DeVito?
LGBTQ straight,
right?
Whatever. It doesn't matter. When we are all, as human beings, looking for sexual gratification, we look at other beings that we meet on the street and immediately judge them. And a
based
lot
on
of times,
criteria.
A lot of times, it does have to do with physical attraction or your
and
desire
to the only thing you
to
have
mate.
To go on
yeah,
until
right.
You
if
meet
that's how everything starts is
them.
With attraction.
That's not an
not
insult
everybody's
to anybody,
like
but
that.
No. But,
I know people that aren't like that, but
no,
you're
no,
right.
But they
most
are,
of the population,
even if their judgments aren't based on sexuality, they do look at people and make a bang. I'm going to add all of these points together.
Yeah, it's the first thing.
That's
right.
How we.
That's how attraction works. That's how.
And not even attraction. That's just how socialization works. That's how we react and respond to everybody we meet in a single day. We
yes,
do this
true.
Little head math. Every time you look at somebody that you encounter them for the first time that day, bang, you do head math on you profile.
Sure.
Basically.
But that's not judging. That's you making an assessment for yourself.
Using
your
judgment.
Yeah.
It's
right.
not being judgmental. It's
using
judgment.
Judgment. Yes.
But,
and you have to.
And assumptions. But that's the thing. You got to catch yourself on assumptions.
Right.
Right, you know
oh,
what
yeah,
I mean?
For sure.
Like, okay, you have a Cure shirt on. I can safely assume that you like the Cure.
Right.
But I can't assume
ironic.
Any other fucking
but
shit.
Beyond that,
it's clothing,
right.
you know?
It's assumption. It might have been a brother shirt or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I didn't even know that was a band.
And my second,
I thought it was for cancer. Yeah.
So my first idea with
Race
having
for
that
the cure.
Was to have it was to bring trans to not exclude trans from Who Would You
yes.
Do. The second point was that most of the time
because we
our
do
question,
have trans listeners to this
fuck,
show.
Dude,
I do know this.
Zelina, shut up.
And there are people that I love dearly. That are fucking trans. Dude, and then on top
the bass player V.
My other fuck is one of my favorite people in the world. I could hug her
forever. Yeah,
dude,
me too.
So there's that. And then the other point that I also wanted to bring up is because most of the people we ask are heterosexual males. Those are most of our people that we interview are heterosexual males. And I want to know, when you look at a trans person, are you thinking about what they are in appearance or what they are as they were originally made? And
listen
part
to
of that
the
question,
subtlety, multifold subtlety what? Of Rick's rationale. In
when
this
somebody
question.
Says, "I would rather do Chaz Bono," it's like I would rather bang a guy if he was born as a girl. And when they say, "I would rather do Caitlyn Jenner," then they're saying, "I like what they look like now is more important to me, and what they want to present to the world is more important to me than how they were born." And in an instant, we get to see what somebody's going on in their head like that.
And it's a crazy,
also,
crazy question.
Another uncomfortable question in the same vein that you also came up with, that is a standard question on the show, gay or ginger?
Yeah.
That is all. Yeah. That was one of your original questions when we first put the quiz together.
I remember
redheads,
gay
gays and redheads both take that joke. With a grain of salt. I'm looking
at
Carolyn.
Well, it's the podcast. Look at where we are. Before you get offended or you take something wrong, it's the podcast. We're here to have fun and talk honestly and maybe just be full of crap, which we are. And,
yeah, we're having fun and then joke around.
And I think it's interesting that such a question would create disharmony in a group or a person because, these are silly questions, but they are actually very thought-provoking because I answered my gay or ginger question back in the Blunderbuss days. Mm-hmm.
It was
Sparks,
4 or 5 years ago.
Time ago. And I, I think I answered honestly from my gut at the time.
What was the answer?
I think I said ginger.
Because you are.
And then I shouldn't have maybe expounded on why.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have to go back and listen
I
for the audience,
actually,
or are you going to tell us
say,
what?
I said a thing about I would rather be ginger because all the gay women I know that would hit on me look like men. And if I were going to be a lesbian, if I were going to be gay, I would definitely be in the lipstick category and not the quad riding category.
The Emma Goldman boots and cigars.
I was worried, that I had said an offensive thing to possibly a gay woman who maybe looks like a man.
The word is dykes.
Okay.
Rory, it is not.
I'm trying
No, the word she's trying to avoid. That's what I was.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid that, Rory. Thank
yes,
you.
You're right.
thanks for bringing that up.
So I think about
the
that
offensive
every once
is.
In a while, and I really analyze myself about what I said and kind of cringe a little bit and wish I had a more correct answer or maybe a more kind answer. But it was
you don't
a thought
really
provoking
feel that way.
Question. No, I don't.
I mean,
at this point, I don't actually get to choose either of those things. I am who I am, and I am how I am. So it's all speculation and silliness, but it was
right.
a thought-provoking question born out of silliness, and that's what I think is cool about the podcast.
Excellent. Thank you. That is kind of the point of some of that shit.
After having all this happen, so a band lost one of their band members.
That is
because
insane.
Of that question.
Because
I
they
say,
were on a show.
I
and,
say weed out the riffraff, man.
Well, but I would also I don't want to just say we're right and screw you and all. I also want to stop and think about that.
Yeah,
do we
valid.
Want to continue asking this question if it could offend some people?
I
wish this
as
person
would have
asked us what we were doing because I think they took it wrong in a way that we never intended it.
All right, as the quizmaster, one of the questions of the quiz that has always been incredibly problematic is your favorite question, Rick. Please describe the age and circumstances of the loss of your virginity. When we ask guys that question, there is definitely a locker room, ha ha ha, you know, that's a safe question to ask.
Yeah.
When I ask women that question, I have gotten a lot of uncomfortable reactions, hesitations. We've gotten definitely some awkward rape stories.
Oh my God. When that's come up, it's been like,
and that's why danger. when that question does come up, and I do ask women on the show that question, I do hang a lantern on it and say, when was the first time you made love?
Right. Because
I think with most women who might have gone through that kind of violation, that's a bit of a tip of the hat to say you can skip over that story and go to the nice one.
Give me the one you want to tell.
Right, and I think that has been a cue to let some of these women know, and they go, oh,
that's
okay,
beautiful.
and they skip over that because it has come up, it has been awkward.
Yeah,
I've had these horrible, I didn't mean to ask you that.
We're in this fun environment, having a great. Everybody's having a good time.
Tell me about your first time.
And I think the girl said something like, "You mean the first time willingly?" And we were all like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
my
yeah,
God.
Exactly. Yeah. That was exactly the day.
This question has always made me uncomfortable.
Oh, my soul.
Remember that.
Ouch.
So, yeah, I mean, I want to say it is part and parcel of what we do on the show. And I think one of the things that we're doing on this show is to really show a human side of the performers that our audience members might get to go see at a show. Or the fans of any band that's on the show. We're getting to show a very humane,
99%.
Not just the Rolling Stone interview, but the personal chit-chat kind of thing.
Personality.
And I don't think it's bad that we...
99% of the
people
dig it. 99% of the people have a good time after the show. They're like, we had fun. I remember one band at the old house, dude was like... that's too personal and I don't want to answer. And also I could tell like he was not digging any of the quiz questions.
Yeah.
Or being on the show at all. He's kind of like, this is it.
Sad he didn't understand that it's for fun.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
because
hey,
you
play Gibson
and
you do the
stretchy pants.
It is on the internet forever. So it's kinda...
Well, that was something else that was said
his,
about
one
this,
of his points.
This band member that left the band was that's out there forever. That we acted like that, and that nobody said anything, and it's going to be out there forever.
Well, had they met you before? Because
no we didn't know.
Oh,
them.
No.
Yeah.
So they didn't know really who you were or how.
And
you
I would
were.
Like to say nope. it's. I think it's one of the best episodes of the show ever.
Oh, the band was fantastic.
The band was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We love that band.
I love them.
I thought we had actually had a great quiz with a lot of wonderful questions.
I felt really
answers.
Bad, and I just wanted to, like, I felt bad, but I felt also misunderstood, and I just wanted to throw it out there if you guys thought that we should cut that question or continue things
if
they are.
If I'm still going to ask women to not tell me about the first time that they got raped every week, fucking week, we can have my daughter's drop of Chaz Bono or Caitlyn Jenner.
Maybe pick your audience better, Rick.
Okay.
If we have militant lesbian women on, do not ask them.
No, not even.
But dude, if they look uncomfortable,
anybody who might... be uncomfortable. Rick can't see these people.
Yeah,
I can filter these what questions
you can
ask.
See facial expressions and body language. And
Rick's
see that,
in
like,
the other room. He's just
know.
Firing
just
off.
Just hitting samples.
Just doing his superhero Boy Scout thing.
I
want to
hear that episode and see how I reacted because I want to know if I'm a jerk or not.
You
actually,
are.
I already know I'm a jerk. So.
<You're> really check.
Shit.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, if you have any opinions about this, actually, like, really, we ask you occasionally, but really, weigh in on this. Let us know. Write a comment on Facebook or Twitter if you hear this, because this is actually something that is actually fundamentally important to the show that we would like to actually
are
know an answer to.
Are these offensive questions, or are they
y'all out
the
there,
fun that we desire?
Y'all out there and you listen every week, give us some fucking feedback.
And
who would you do question. Everybody plays that game at home. It's not even something we made up.
I don't want it to all be Sophia Vergara.
You know, who would you do freaking, what's his name from Subway or Jeffrey Dahmer? You know, pick one. Neither one's an appealing attract. You know.
That's why it's funny. Because
but Dahmer's way cuter.
See, there you go. Jared.
But you might end up in his freezer. So, you know.
So we'll have you twice.
The comic book guy from The Simpsons or Rick.
Amen.
Yeah.
I hope I get a few
Rick
votes
Spagnola?
In there.
What's up?
You mean Rick Spagnuola?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but I was trying to say Rick's fat and ugly.
And you were so inclined.
It's awful.
He's and a dude, handsome
and I
wanna, dude.
I want us to, and I want us to stay I know
Rick.
Everybody...
For the fact, I know that Rick thinks it's a nice place to visit.
I'll keep that in the hopper.
When we were talking about motherfuckers before the show, I was thinking, well, I've had two, I think. I think only two. So
I heard one through a wall.
Oh, wait, maybe three, now that I think about it. Yeah, yeah, maybe
right.
three.
Well,
so,
how else
you guys,
are you going to learn?
But you guys, we love and support our trans brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I think you love and support all your brothers and sisters. And we shouldn't even have to put a label on any of
who
that.
Who cares what you like, love? It's not about what
we
you love. It's about
a.
who
we
you
love
are.
You.
Yeah.
We love
and
you
that
no
you
matter
love
what.
At all is important.
Well,
and
me.
No matter who it is.
And me coming to turn, and I've had a lot of people in my life who didn't like gay people, but then one day turned around and said, you know, I don't like queers, but you're okay. You know, and that didn't.
I have family members that you did that to.
Fuck, and they're, and it didn't come from me getting in their face and telling them that they were closed-minded. It came from me being a decent human being around them.
No one has ever argued someone into agreeing.
Fucking A.
No, and definitely, like you know, as you mentioned before, when I was a younger man, maybe in my teens and twenties, the whole trans thing. Ooged me out in the 90s. Yeah. That was legitimately, though, 20 fucking years ago at this point.
Well, and at that point, were you even comfortable with your own sexuality? Your own skin?
I was trying to suck as many dicks that would touch mine. So, I mean, I was exploring things.
Right, right. but at that age, like, I don't know, it seems like
you don't even know who you are.
Now, later on in life, obviously, as Rick said, We support our brothers and sisters. Because the dialogue has changed. What we know about things have changed. What people are comfortable with sharing.
Isn't it wonderful that we live in a world where people are comfortable to try and be themselves in front of us?
Whereas 20 years ago, we wouldn't even be able to have this conversation.
Oh my God.
It wasn't even part of the dialogue.
20 years ago, you asked somebody gay or ginger, they would never make fun of gingers. They would say fucking like, fuck being gay.
I'll be
a ginger every time.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to get me on tape saying I'd be gay.
I don't want to get beat up. Of course I'll be ginger.
They mostly say that they'd like to be gay.
That's what I was just going to say, Rick.
Mostly
people are all,
isn't that
I'd rather
fantastic.
Be gay than have red hair.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Our society is as moved.
Which is like, what? I don't want to be a soulless ginger. I want to be gay, you know.
And then there are people who are like, I like both those things, please. You know?
I want to be the gay ginger?
Yeah. We get that often.
Well, that is also okay.
Yeah.
So, for the record, we discriminate equally. No, we tease.
Ganger.
It's
actually we were talking about this before the show. Teasing is an uncomfortable and complicated cross cultural concept.
Yeah.
Yes. What is considered good humor in one instance can be completely taboo and offensive in another.
Well, yeah, a friend, a thing you would say to a friend might offend an acquaintance or someone you met that night.
My old pastor Denise, she would say, Rick, you shouldn't say faggot so much. And I'd be all, but I'm gay. And she's like, Rick, everybody doesn't know you're gay. They just hear you saying faggot.
That is a point of view that you probably never thought about.
Right.
Like, oh,
no,
yeah,
I always used to say, faggot, Rory, you can't say faggot. No. My best friend is, and he says I could.
And he said I could. Because Justin went through the same thing.
Gay permission to say faggot.
Justin moved to Sacramento,
I've blown, so I get to say it.
Fuck.
But Denise, and Rick brought this up to me a couple years ago too. And Denise's point really stands. Nobody knows my background.
Yeah.
All they do is see my actions.
Right. And it's about mindful actions.
So you have to represent yourself well.
There was a time in my life when that word really, really hurt. And every time I heard somebody say fag or faggot, it hurt me deeply inside. And I thought that they hated me and didn't accept me as a part of God's plan. And that was awful. And then I started being around people and using it a lot myself. And you know what happened? The word lost all of its power.
It became your comedic weapon.
And then suddenly this word had no power over me. And now, even if somebody says faggot in anger, it just rolls right off me like I don't give a shit. It never even crosses my mind to be offended. Which is why I'm always surprised when other people are.
Yeah, aren't we in a place now where we can say things? And yeah.
Right. It's not.
That's too bad. I'm sorry that happened on the show.
Me too.
But maybe,
I hate that happened.
Knows?
I wish
maybe
we could have explained ourselves.
Maybe it was ourselves. The catalyst that just prodded that change, which needed to happen, into action.
And I love all those people, and I'm sorry.
I hope that's true.
I didn't mean. It was never our intention to make somebody feel like we were dogging those people.
No. Because they clearly don't know how awesome you are.
No, that was...
Are you setting your alarm? What's going on? Is it time to take your pill, Rory?
With the things that we say, can you imagine what we would beep out?
Well, yeah. I wrote this song for the Christian youth. I want to teach kids the Christian truth. If you want to reach those kids on the street,
I know
you got to do a rap to a hip-hop beat. So I gave my sermon an urban kick. My rhymes are fly, my beats are sick. My crew is big and it keeps getting bigger. That's because Jesus Christ is my nigga.
Oh,
that's the fuck right. Is this?
Yeah. Look it up on YouTube, ladies and gents. It's a white pastor and his wife.
Yeah.
Yep. It's, he's alive. And do you know what? You go through the comments, the only people who get mad about this are white people.
Yep.
For real.
There was
everybody else is like,
dumb people.
Damn straight.
That's funny.
There was this.
All right. I'm going to shut this off. Hang on a second. I was just trying to make a point here.
There was this.
Can I get a Sieg Heil?
No. I really wish you would delete that.
There was this comedy routine that I was watching by Donald Glover, and he was talking about, like, somebody, one of his white friends was saying, like, I wish we could use the word nigger. Like, that's, I just feel so out of that loop. And he's like, just start using it. Like,
because that is the whole point of using it, is to desensitize
it. Like, you, and he went on to say, like, you never see, like, two white girls in an IKEA and one of them be like, well, just stop being a nigger and tell me what you think of this rug. Like, the word, it used to mean something awful, and, like, you have to acknowledge that, but, like, I don't know.
We also have to acknowledge that the meaning of that has changed. Between 1960 and 1990,
right.
The meaning of that word drastically.
Well, it's context. It hasn't changed also as well.
You're absolutely
the way
correct
you use it,
too.
Man.
You're absolutely
Louis C.K.
Correct.
Agrees with you.
And then, I don't know, the other thing about that is that, like, assuming that, oh, I don't know, saying that a white person can't use that word is assuming that they have a similar feeling about it that people did like 60 years ago. And that's not fair to anyone. You can't assume that anyone feels any way until you ask them.
No, but the way that our society is right now, when you hear somebody use that word, you automatically assume that they're an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way most people accept. That's just the way it is. And I, you know, as far as whether if it's going to be like that or like it was 50 years ago, I'd rather have it like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've
got faggot, but fuck, it's not the same.
No, yeah. There's different connotations, different histories of, well, I mean, abuse and oppression, I guess.
Oppression is the word. And,
yeah.
And it sucks, but
and
like...
you know what? Honestly,
we gays
between,
were never slaves.
Yeah, it was... Well, okay, well, fair. Yeah.
But you were burned at the stake.
Hung by the neck or incarcerated forever.
Put into a mental health institution.
Right.
Up until 1970, motherfucking five.
To try and fix you.
Yeah. You know what was worse for us?
And our vice president's still a fan of that.
When you're black or Asian or something else that you were discriminated, at least you could go home, turn to your family and your church, and they understood what it was like and knew
and they
that
supported
it was wrong.
You. But yeah. A gay
when you're
person
gay,
is alone.
You're completely alone. Yeah. There's your
the
church
only time
and
you
your
have...
family and your everybody can be against you.
The only time you'd have those
well,
connections
when
you were is when you were
especially.
Clandestinely yeah. meeting
there's
somebody
more
else.
Now, but
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
any rate, let's lighten
this is
the
so
mood.
Dark. Do you guys have a nice happy song?
Oh, death we... and grief and sorrow and murder.
Damn, Legion.
This is a good Worst Little Podcast. Damn,
Banjo's such a happy.
We got
song.
All the ends.
You can never be like. Actually, the next song that we have is quite well. It sounds happy, but it's actually quite depressing.
Nice.
If you listen to the words,
I'll settle right? for sounds happy.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna. Can I talk about it?
Vamp.
Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So this song I wrote. I'm not gonna say which band I was listening to a lot because you'll probably figure it out if you hear them. But I was listening to a band a lot, and I was thinking about like the way that they write, like all of their stuff. I don't know. It was just so beautiful, and it sounded like even though the subject matter was really depressing. It's a punk band, and they were just so rocking, and it sounded so awesome. And I was like, how do you write a song that's so sad about, you know, your pet dying and being that kind of upheaval? And then you just make it sound like a dirty, angry punk song. So I was playing with that idea, and so I wrote this song to be like as happy as possible sonically, and then the content is just like miserably depressing.
That's a grand.
That's
a grand.
That's like
Roxy tradition.
Colley's formula.
I mean, it's
shop too.
The Cure, like, I mean, yeah, like lots of bands like on that formula.
Yep.
Bright Eyes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. All of the above. Okay.
Sorry, we're down to hear your happy, sad song.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm ready.
You ready? Okay. This song is called Fuitina in A minor.
Night. So we will elope. So we will elope my loneliness and I.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
What a great
good
lyric.
Job. That's such a nice song.
Thank you.
Cool.
Fuck, should we do two?
You guys,
yeah, are you still down there, Carolyn?
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, let's do two.
Okay.
I don't mean to compare, but damn, it's pretty sick Kitty Sittish too.
Yeah.
There's a little of that going on.
I was totally thinking this reminded me of something.
Yeah.
It's sick Kitty Sit with a way smaller drum kit.
Oh, that,
oh my God.
That would be a fun show.
And less hot dudes.
Hey, Mike and Kat. Mike and Kat, if you guys are listening.
Oh, those two are
we love you. Sit,
come,
sit.
Next time you come
Change
to Reno,
we have an opening band for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
this
would
be
so,
so
cool.
Much fun.
Oh,
that would be adorable. Oh, I would love that so much.
Oh, we could actually single handedly make
cool
this happen.
You guys could share equipment.
Fuck yeah. You wouldn't even have to change anything. Your crowd will love their crowd, and their crowd will love your crowd.
Yeah.
And Georgia Maestro will show up and be like, can I play too?
Oh, my God. That would be so awesome.
And we could, like, the flyer could say, like, sit, kitty, sit with sit, kitten, sit.
All right,
a
actually.
To sit, nah, kitty,
you
sit.
Know what? Before we launch into the next song, I got to ask. So, Raksha Paksha, explain this, please.
Okay. So.
This is the question.
Wait, is
that
it from the Jungle Book?
On
it is
every,
not.
Buddy,
okay.
It's on it everybody's not. Mind. Yeah. Everybody wants
and
to
And I remember
know.
When. See, I don't remember that being in the original Jungle Book. But I could be misremembering. I'm not sure. So when that came out, I was like, ha ha, because that was totally not what it was from. When I was little, I made up my own languages, and I kind of still do that. That's
nerd.
That's how I swear. I don't swear in English. I make it up. it sounds a lot like Chinese most of the time, so people just think I'm speaking Chinese, which is a good thing for me. Anyway. So when I was little, though, I used to make this up and mom says, I don't really remember, I was two, so, but mom says that I would talk about this princess. Her name was Raksha Paksha, and she was the princess of the Wuddy Guddies. And I would tell all these stories about this princess. and it's a hail to something that, to the essence of our relationship between, you know, my mom and I, that's where our relationship began. and then it's sort of a testament to, like, I really want to make something that everyone can approach. I feel like a lot of mainstream media today, and, you know, any kind of media really, is just kind of, I don't know, not that this is a bad thing necessarily, but when you, like, over-sexualize things and when you make things about stuff that's kind of harder to reach as a young person.
Less accessible.
Yeah. And it's I was just thinking about, like, how it must be so hard and to want to listen to that stuff and just trying to understand what it's about. And I just wanted to, I really wanted to make something that, like, kids could love and not feel weird about and it wouldn't change, and not that we don't have songs that are about sex or whatever, but
it doesn't sound like it is, like,
yeah,
it's not,
yeah,
it's not very overt,
it's approachable,
yeah,
it's approachable, and I don't know, just being about life and touching all humanity somehow is...
And I'd like to say that I think that by tuning into a very like a toddler's name, that I want to retain some childlike persona.
Innocence, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't mean childish. I mean childlike.
Yeah.
But that innocence of exploration and
yes, and
newness.
Not to forget
wonder,
that not
yeah.
to forget
wonder,
that
yeah.
that it's fun and sometimes you dance like you're wearing stripy tights mm-hmm. with a tutu.
You got no, yeah, your music is very conducive to tutus and stripy tights. I would
perfect.
I think we should do that actually.
Sometimes when I meet somebody who's all fucked up and pissed off and a total fucking dick and a total asshole or a total fucking drug addict or just a piece of shit, sometimes when I meet a really fucked up person like that, I'll stop and look at them and imagine what they looked like when they were a little kid and they just ran outside to play before the world fucked them up and added all that pollution that screwed them up.
Yeah.
It's and important. I think like get that way
they
somehow.
Are that underneath all this crap.
I think that
don't
every
forget
week
your
when I come over and see you, Rick.
What? Yeah. Wait, what did you say?
I think Whoa. That every week when I come over and see
oh,
you.
Oh, right. See? See? It works. But that's awesome. And it's also what Jesus said that we should do, is be more like the little children.
Yes. Right. It's a pure view and a more honest approach. And
fuck.
And well, they never have an agenda. Well,
yeah, yeah. You just smiled and took the adult's hand and said, yeah, where are we going? Sounds fun.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
You don't spend enough time around children,
Rich. No, I think he was referring to, like,
yeah,
from the
I, no,
standpoint
I,
of
the child.
Child. That you just, okay. But there's a, I don't know, there's a lot good in that place in life. And I wanted to remember that. I thought it was a good idea to...
Nice.
To keep roots in mind.
Yeah.
I need to poop really bad.
Me too.
Okay. So what's the next song?
More music!
This next song is called Rainy Day Hats. And we'll talk about it after if you want.
Okay.
Mama, you ready?
I'm ready.
Kicking the rocks in the rain on the way home, taking the long way just to be alone. It's been one of those days I just gotta get clean when the work is too much and the people are mean. For my keys, swear once I'm in that I'll never again leave. There's been only one reason I rearrange. As soon as I see your face, all my plans change. No matter how dark and dreary I feel, I know that when I'm to me, it belongs to you. This is our world.
That was rad.
Carolyn, get back up here. We're going to do the quiz.
Woo!
Oh, damn. That's
the
nice
show's run really
right
long.
There.
This better be a short one. We've asked Carolyn all this stuff like twice before, haven't
we? Yeah, we are going to do a short quiz. I promise. I was already thinking of that. Yeah, this is actually going to wind up being actually one of our longest episodes ever.
What time is it?
Right. It's 9:20 the past where we are now.
Oh, good Lord.
It's like, okay, all if we do a 90-minute show, we're at like 80 minutes already.
Let's do really quick quiz and get to the end.
All right, Rick, give me some music.
As you wish, Mr. Dowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the greatest little quiz. Where's little quiz? Ah, fuck it. Who cares? We're going to ask them some fucking questions. It's going to be awkward and weird because they're mom and daughter.
Yay, here we go.
All right, Carolyn, your lover, your brother, your mother, die. You are on a desert island. Who do you cannibalize first?
Ooh, old school.
My mother.
Okay.
Woo!
Sholin. Same question to you. Lover, brother, or mother, who do you cannibalize first on a desert island?
Lover, because I need my drummer.
Your lover, your drummer, or your brother, right.
Shaolin, in all of history, real people, no fictions, who would you start a fist fight with?
All people. Fist fight.
I thought that was your answer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every person.
That's ambitious.
Never She's been angry.
I don't know. Hitler can't hang.
Okay.
Okay.
Very popular answer.
I'm going to have to say Nicki Minaj because I think she is stupid.
I thought you were going to say me.
Some hoes get cut.
Nick Ramirez. Yeah.
I'd rather start a knife fight.
Nicki Minaj.
What is the first concert you bought tickets to yourself?
Ooh, Quiet Riot in Odessa, Texas, Ector Ooh. County Coliseum. Queensryche opened for them.
Ooh.
I was 13.
Which one did you like better?
Queensryche.
Yeah, a little more theatrical.
Although
there.
Rudy Sarzo more prog rock. On the bass. Hot.
Shalane, same question to you.
I think it's the tickets I just bought to go see Death Cab for Cutie. everything else has been like a gift. Like, all the other concerts I've been to has been like... All
right, then what was the first, like, big concert you got to go to?
Pat Benatar on my sister's birthday.
Ooh. Damn.
That's
not bad.
Without her,
oddly enough, Pat Benatar is playing
Again,
the Nugget on Samantha's
on
birthday.
On Samantha's birthday.
10 years later.
Crazy.
Free shout-out for the Nugget.
Celebrity road trip. Buddy road trip movie. What's the celebrity that would be in the car with you?
Robert Stevenson from A Silent Film.
Okay.
Ooh, that is a tough question. I'm going to say celebrity road trip. I think probably Dave Grohl.
Oh, nice. What is your favorite drunk food?
My favorite drunk food is tacos.
Oh, gosh, I've never been drunk.
What's your favorite after-show food? Does that qualify?
After-show food. Yeah,
after-show food is either...
Adrenaline food.
Tacos or... usually by that point, I'm making bad decisions, so pizza.
There you go. Pizza's always the best bad decision. How many books do you own?
You are being escorted to a gas chamber by a clown.
Riku has a
question. Which comedian would you like to be that clown?
Riku, do you want to say it again?
Where's the time?
You are being escorted to a gas chamber by a clown. Which comedian would you like to be that clown?
Brian Regan.
Ooh.
On the draw, Brian Regan, right.
And that's
if she got Brian,
off the
to
beaten
take...
path answer there.
Yeah, I guess I'll take Jim Gaffigan if she got Brian.
Nice. Okay, Jim Gaffigan, good answer. Brian Regan,
at least it would be pasty and whispery or something.
He might bring food, donuts, or bacon.
All right, we're gonna
give you some bacon. We're gonna have to die.
Thank you for understanding, Jim.
One last piece of bacon.
We're gonna
smuggled it in.
We're gonna jump right over into the rapid fire questions right now. Rip Taylor, Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons.
I am offended Richard by Simmons. This question.
I'm offended by you. Who wins
I'm
in a fight, donkey or a walrus?
Walrus.
Walrus. Yeah. Sorry.
Again, I am offended for
gay or ginger.
Donkeys and walruses everywhere.
You know, I think this year I'll just go gay.
All right.
In case there's a hottie. You know.
Ginger, no explanation.
Okay.
Who'd you do?
The gays can get married.
Elvis or the Beatles?
The Beatles.
Elvis.
Okay. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Also Star Trek.
Ooh. Nice.
Burgers or dogs?
Burgers.
Burgers, yeah.
AIDS or cancer?
Cancer.
AIDS.
Can I have
At least
both?
You get to have sex first.
Beat up or arrested?
Beat up.
Arrested.
Coldplay or a cold sore?
Coldplay.
Coldplay.
Okay, all right. Nick, do you have anything else to add to this
Well, I want Riku
quiz?
To ask him the question of such controversy, please.
Oh, the controversial.
Oh, my God, I didn't even think about that.
Who would you do?
But before that.
Circumcised or not?
Oh, Riku wants to know.
I am not circumcised.
what was the second thing?
For girls, it's what do you prefer?
Are circumcised
you
or not?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even think about that.
I'd imagine as women born in a first world country that you are not circumcised.
Correct. Chances I am are. Not circumcised.
That is correct.
I don't have any experience outside of one choice, so I can't say. I can't honestly say I prefer one or another.
Let me just let you know you're missing out.
Aren't
That's
we
what you say.
How do you know? Because I didn't say which one.
Aren't we all, Rick? Aren't we all?
Yeah, fair enough. Missing out, huh? All right. Yeah. I'll look into it.
I had no idea.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I'll take a look.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's, you know, it's a little weird, but it's way better.
Well, Shellen can respectfully not answer.
I'd imagine
she's in a similar
opinion.
Category there. Yeah.
Okay.
Who would you do, Caitlyn Jenner or Chaz Bono?
I think Chaz Bono.
You know, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I had no idea who either of these people were before we started talking about them.
Okay. Chaz Bono is the child of Cher.
Sonny and Cher.
Who was, and she's a woman who became a man.
Uh-huh. Transitioned to male. Whereas Caitlyn Jenner is the father of the Kardashians.
Bruce Jenner, who's and both of them, also a Lipian.
And both
what?
Of them are
no
trailblazers
and
that made it
a
normal, commonplace
okay.
thing.
And he turned
I think
into
I'm going
to
say Chaz Bono in that case because I would probably rather hang out with their family.
Okay.
Right.
Ooh,
wow.
I never looked
Good
at
reasoning.
It that way.
Yeah, excellent reasoning. But excellent reasoning.
Fuck them Kardashians.
Caitlyn Jenner is, but their family sucks. That's
right.
True.
Yeah.
I never
Caitlyn's
thought of that.
Caitlyn's hot and has nice forearms, but.
But at least you might get
her.
To talk
forearms?
To Cher.
Her fucking
right?
kids.
Is that what
Jesus.
Does it for you, Rory? Their forearms?
She has very nice arms.
Extra points. Extra points for Shellen. Sorry.
Fucking round. Awesome.
No good.
Extra points for Shellen.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
She's a thinker.
I'm gonna tabulate the scores here on my calculator.
The Quizitron.
And oh, and the big board. Yes, beep boop beep boop beep boop. The big board is telling me that Shellen is the big winner.
Yeah.
A couple of One Ton Dooley stickers as
nice
your prize.
Right.
The free ones?
Yes.
Sponsored by Sticker Guy.
Oh, hey, look, Carolyn, I found a whole bag of your number ones.
Oh, look, there
oh,
they
look,
are.
There's one and two and three and four.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
I'll just
Watch
throw those
birdies.
Right here in my bag of dicks.
I got birdies in my pants.
Yeah, my pockets are full of birds. Let me flip one over to you.
Good job, you guys. Way to play the quiz. And
So since this show is running so late and so long, because we've actually
had some of
the best conversation we've had on the show in months.
Yay.
Nick, what do we got going on this coming weekend?
This coming weekend.
Friday night.
What?
One Ton Dooley is playing at Davidson's
Distillery. Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
St. Patrick's
That's
Day.
Right. So there's a ton of shows going on, but you really want to come down to the David
Reno. We have a problem. Slutsville and One Ton Dooley.
And Slutsville, you don't be offended. They're all women in that band.
They chose their own name.
Yes.
Yeah. They're from Grass Valley.
So it's not about like
we heard they're awesome.
Calling women sluts. It's about women
calling themselves.
Nice. Did you guys hear about that band of entirely comprised of Asians that was called the Slants?
Oh yeah,
and they had to change their name. Like the man came down on them. It's like you can't call yourself that. That's racist. And they were like, we are
can't
all Asian.
I think you mean that's racist.
They cannot copyright their songs. They cannot use that name. Nobody
because
will
it's
let
offensive.
Yeah. No, it really has come down. It's a group of five Asian guys playing like sweater garage rock Weezer music.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what Pussy Riot says to that? Pussy Riot says, fuck that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, no
Free
effects.
Free Pussy Riot.
And they wouldn't let Soviet from Italy into America.
Rick, yes.
The NoFX album wasn't supposed to be called White Trash, Two Heebs and a Bean.
What was it supposed to be
called? They wanted to call, I can't even say what they wanted to call it.
Is that offensive?
Yeah, well, no, White Trash, Two Kikes and a Spick. That's what they wanted to call it. And the record company said, no, you can't do that. And they all, but it's us saying
it's
it. We
public.
Are
yeah.
those
That's
people.
Us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What that about the band the Honky? You know what I mean? Like, they're white dudes
two crackers.
From Texas, and they're called Honky.
Two Crackers. That's what we should have called ourselves.
Niggas
the
with
Saltine
attitude.
Duo.
Craction, Paction.
What about?
A Paction of Crackers.
Crack-a-Paction.
A Paction of Crackers.
Alpaction.
Crack-a-Paction.
A Paction of Crackers.
That's on it. Behalf of white
pack.
People everywhere.
Because there's two crackers in a pack, right?
Yeah, exactly. Two packs of crackers. Raksha.
Raksha Tupaksha.
Oh my gosh.
Now we have to cover a Tupac song.
Nice.
Yo, are that your side project where you guys switch instruments?
You know what Tupac would say? He'd say, keep your heads up.
Yeah.
Mind your head. Keep your head up.
Keep your head up. Mama. All the ladies.
Damn Norwegian, that's all you got to say?
What, girl, shut the hell up.
Question
Don't you
mark?
Know?
Right.
Hey, do we have, right. Speaking of covers,
do you guys
do
have
we
a,
have time for taking
yes,
we're
going to
do another show.
You
we're
take us
do
out
song.
With some special
do you guys have any
requested
shows coming
music.
Up, though?
Yes, we just booked a show at Sassafras, which is in Carson City.
Yeah, the Sassafras.
On the Friday, the May 12th.
Friday,
yes.
And then we're obviously playing at Mary Anarchy.
Saturday the
13th. The next day.
All right.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah,
a lot excellent. Of people are playing double that weekend.
Yeah.
And we don't mind it, Marianne.
No,
that's
not
fine.
At all.
Thank you.
Not
and
at
then
all.
We just actually booked a show at the Saint that's not until July. But
yeah. Excellent.
I can't wait
Fuck
to
yeah.
play that venue.
Have you
really
not
like
been there yet?
Oh.
No,
well,
we
I've been
there.
I've seen shows there, but I've never played on that stage.
Well,
that's
awesome. Surprising.
We got lucky enough to, as One Ton Dooley, play there on New Year's weekend.
Oh,
and
I played there a bunch of times.
Yeah, it sounds good. I'm really impressed. The sound.
Hi, I'm Nick Ramirez. I'm in all the best bands in town, so I
You're
get invited
and I have
there
for 20
all
years.
The time.
Good sound there.
Yeah,
you're gonna like
it.
It
sounds
it.
Good.
Yeah,
we were there Friday. So.
Good stuff. Yeah. Really good stuff. So
a couple black dudes in that shit too.
Fuck yeah, everybody's welcome. Yeah.
Why are you trying to bring all the black?
Where are my
people?
Fucking
What's
Samoans at?
Oh man.
Polynesian.
How come you don't take a drop of me saying that, Rick?
Let's just offend everybody right off the bat. Get it out of the way. And then, you know,
I love, that's the thing. I love black people and I love Samoans and I love Asians.
I love
and
people.
And
all
Swedes
just
and
people.
Doesn't matter.
Whites and
all
redheads
people.
And faggots.
Gays and gingers.
Everybody. I love them all.
Caitlyn Jenner and Jess.
I love retards.
Oh my God.
You're not supposed to use that word either. No.
Yeah, damn that one. That
I'm old school, man. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm almost a grandpa.
But queers is okay. So I can say what the queers are doing in the Soylent. Never bothers anybody.
Right. Good band.
Right. No.
Well, I think you can use the N-word if you're singing a song written by an African-American person.
Like the
an African-American
mindless self-indulgence
person.
Cover of the Method
yeah.
Man song.
We screamed those lyrics at the top of our lungs, and that's not even a black
on
person
Halloween.
Singing that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
Just goes to show you. You can't stop art with racism.
Nope.
Goddamn right. Fucking but you right. can stop racism with art.
Amen to that.
Ooh, I like it.
All right, let's play our crazy wild.
Yeah, you get
cover.
Downstairs. We're gonna say goodbye here, ladies and gentlemen. It's a St. Patrick's Day weekend, so
oh yeah, have a good time. Tomorrow.
Besides, yeah,
Happy Green Day.
We want you guys to come out. We want you guys to see the shows. There's gonna be shows all over town. It's gonna be a great night. But
we're getting drunk right now.
Don't be fucking stupid, please, please, please. Don't be stupid. Get
Uber,
a cab, get an Uber,
Lyft,
walk around. It does, like get some exercise. It's good for you. It burns
Make
off
friends
some
with
of the
a Mormon.
Find a rickshaw.
There's that too. Yeah. have a great time. Be very careful. Please come out and see One Ton Dooley.
If you catch that leprechaun, share that money with me.
Okay, we'll do.
Get that paper.
Ladies
yeah.
gentlemen,
thank you so much Shall for having live. Us on the podcast.
It's been very much my pleasure to have Raksha Paksha on the show tonight. Two of my very long-term friends here in Reno making some great music together right now.
We love you.
Beautiful.
Guys.
Love
for
it.
For Nick
Family.
Ramirez, Dogwater Dick, Chewbacca, and all the interns, this is the Reverend Ori Dowd and the Words of Little Podcast, and I'm telling you, life is short, and I love you.
I love you, too.
Good night, ladies.
Good night. On the worst little podcast.
podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
God is an American. Na 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 na. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't.